Our scripture was found in Acts, the fourth chapter, and I want to just focus on a few verses. I want to start around verse 5, and then we're going to be as quickly as possible, but as effective. Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 5. And it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Ananias and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." And this is our key verse, verse 7. It says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this?" I want to repeat that. It says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which is become of the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I want to focus on that seventh verse. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power?" Somebody say, by what power? Or by what name? Say, what name? Have ye done this? Just turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, what give us the right? Turn to the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message, and say, neighbor, what gives us the right? What gives us the right? You know, a lot of times people have the audacity to do some things that just doesn't seem like they should be doing it. I mean, you see some people say some stuff, and all of us have said this phrase at some time in our lives. What gives you the right to offer your opinion? What gives you the right to do this? Or what gives you the right to do that? And many times we are often misrepresented, or our expectations of ourselves and even by others are set very low. And when they see you stand up here and read scripture, they see you stand up here and say prayer, or they see you do this or do that, they say, what gives you the right? Brother James, what gives you the right to stand up here and sing a song? What gives you the right, Sister Debbie and Sister Cheryl, what gives you the right to be up here? What gives you the right to do what you're doing? Well, this morning we want to talk about what gives us the right to do what we do and why we do what we do. Can somebody say amen? In our text, in the first through the third verse, it says this, "And he spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple of the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." The first thing that we have to understand is that the role of the church is to teach people and preach the resurrection from the dead. As we get ready to enter into the Lord's Supper and we recognize those that came today to receive the right hand of fellowship, we emphasize and re-emphasize the fact that the role of you as an individual, as a believer, is to share the good news of Jesus. And normally this would come at the climax of the message, but Jesus did die. Jesus was buried. Jesus did get up with all power in his hands. And he went unto the Father and he says, "Lo, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." But you have to share that with somebody else. It's not just taking it in and being saved and seated. The purpose of you being saved is being saved and being a witness. You got to go and tell somebody else about the good news of Jesus, that Jesus saved you one day. And if he can save me, I know he can save you. If he saves you, I know he can save them, because of the fact that Jesus died. And he said, whosoever will, let them come. I'll receive them unto myself, that where I am, you will also be. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So the role of the church is share the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But with this gift of salvation that we have received, we have also received authority. Somebody say authority. Somebody say authority. Come on, say it like you mean it, like you got it. Say authority. We have authority. That means power. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I was by about 16 years old, I had already reached almost the peak of my height. I was about 6'1". I was bigger than my mother. I was taller than my mother. I could probably pick my mother up with no problem. But my mama, whenever she said what she said, she meant what she said. And she just had this finger, and it just like flicked up. Boy, go upstairs. I mean, it just flipped. And I was bigger, I had more strength, but she had something that I did not have. She had authority. And when you have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the presence of God has come in your life, you don't need no physical strength, because you've got something else. You've got authority. Somebody say authority. Oh, bless his name. But what does this authority gives us? This authority gives the ability to teach and preach the resurrection of Jesus. But in that teaching and preaching the resurrection of Jesus, there are three things that should happen. Let me say that again. When you preach and teach, not just me, but you, when you preach and teach the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there are three things that happen. The first thing is that people should be healed. Let me back up. People should be healed. This ought to be the place where people know that a life change can occur. This ought to be the place where people can come and know they can receive a miracle from God. Can somebody say amen? In this text, in the fourth chapter, it is a response to what happened in the third chapter. Because in the third chapter, there was a man that had been lame for 40 years of his life from his birth. And he sat at a gate called Beautiful. And the Bible says that they would lay him there on a daily basis. And people would come by and would cry, alms, alms, alms. And he was expecting something of monetary consent towards them. So because of the fact that he was in this lame condition. But the Bible says that Peter and John in the third chapter, they had came by this man, and he expected the same of them. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up. And the Bible says that immediately his bones received strength and he was healed. There's got to be a place where people can come and their lives will be changed. When I come into this place, when I come to my Father's house, I kind of expect for some things to be here. Oh, they might have raised hell all week everywhere I've been. But when I come into this house, in my Father's house, there's joy. In my Father's house, there's peace. In my Father's house, there's healing. In my Father's house, there is deliverance. When you come into this place, you ought to expect that God is going to do something. Somebody ought to say amen. And in Mark, the third chapter, the 14th to the 15th verse, see, the Bible not only tells us that the apostles are the ones to be equipped to go out and do this, but here Jesus, when he ordained the 12, he ordained them that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and have the power to heal sickness and cast out devils. And you say, wait a second, that's a little too much for me. I didn't sign up for that. That wasn't in the new congregants handout that y'all gave us. It wasn't in this, we didn't sign about the healing and casting out devil thing. No, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have to realize you have the right and authority to speak to the devil and say, devil, get off and get out of here. You have the authority to impact somebody's life. Oh, my friend Dr. Alan Waller, I love this thing that he says. He says we have to realize that there's times as believers we need to go to hell, get the hell out, and say, hell no, you're going to get it. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to put it on the CD, give credit. It came from Dr. Alan Waller, but he says it this way. He says, look, we got to go to the hellish places in our city. We got to go to the drug corners. Come on, and get the hell out of them. Come on. We got to take them out of hell. And then when hell tries to come back and steal them, we need to say, hell no. Oh, we got visitors. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to behave myself. But we have to realize we have this authority to declare miracles in people's lives. You know something? I was impressed. You know what? I thank God for last week's events. I really do. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand for last week's events, because you don't understand right now why we're clapping. For those that were not here, the police department decided that they want to come in here and think they could just walk around service to look for somebody. Didn't even know they were in here, but decided they want to come and look around. But I began to think about that this morning, about early in the morning, about 4 o'clock a.m. I began to think about that. You know why they came here? They came here because they knew this is the place where people come get healed. This is the place where murderers can come in. This is the place where homosexuals can come in. This is the place where sinners can come and receive the good news of Jesus, and their lives can be made whole. I'm not here to knock any church, but they didn't go over the Basilica. They didn't go around the corner. They came here because this is the place where the broken heart can mend. This is the place where the lonely one can find a friend. Because we must lift the fallen, and we must change people's lives. This has to be the place where people get healed. So if the gospel and the resurrection story of Jesus is preached, people will be healed. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Well, there's three things. There's three things that should happen if you have been given this authority and right by the Spirit of God. The first thing is that people should be healed. The second thing is that you should have some opposition. You should have some opposition. If you're really preaching the resurrection of Jesus, there should be some opposition. In the third verse, it says, and they laid hands on them and put them in a holding cell until the next day, for it was evening tide. They weren't arrested for doing wrong. They were arrested for doing right. And I want to let you know right now, when you start standing for Jesus, people are going to be opposed of you. Your friends will be less. Your raw dogs will be no more because of the fact that you're walking with Jesus. But even if it gets lonely sometime, the Bible says that if God be for you, he's in the whole world. He's more than the whole world against you. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 12, 10 to 12, it says, blessed are they. That means you're going to be happy. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice
and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For if they persecuted the prophets which before you, they're going to persecute you also. You know, Jesus, there was a man who had a withered hand in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. And the Bible says that they came to him with this man on the Sabbath. And they ridiculed Jesus. And they said, look, here is this man with a withered hand. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And the Lord Jesus said unto him, which one of you have a sheep somewhere on the Sabbath and would not go and get them? And Jesus healed them. And the Bible says that the Pharisees went out and laid a council against him and how they might destroy him. You have to understand that once you start preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there will be opposition. Well, there's three things. The first one, people should be healed. Second, there should be opposition. Well, what's the third thing? The third thing is that people ought to believe. If you share the resurrection story, everybody's not going to agree with you. Everybody's not going to like you, but somebody ought to believe. That you ought to share the resurrection story with such conviction, with the fact that Jesus came into your life and your life was messed up. You were a wreck undone. You were just all out of place. But when Christ came into your life, he made you brand new. That's why Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So Christ has come into your life, and as he has made your life new, you ought to share it with others that they might receive Jesus. You know, I believe in this place. I can't remember too many times that we vote to open this altar and people have not come to Jesus. You know why? Because every time that we preach here, we preach with the expectation that somebody needs Jesus. We preach with the expectation that somebody needs to come to the Lord. I told my staff a long time ago, I said, listen, if there's ever a first Sunday that we're not baptizing somebody, I'm going to baptize one of y'all, because there never should be a first Sunday that we're not baptizing somebody, that somebody is not declaring their conversion, that Jesus has come into their life. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Well, we have what the authority results in. People should be healed. That there should be opposition. That people should believe. But what gives us this authority? What gives us this authority? Let's look at verse 5 and through 7 of the 4th chapter. And the Bible says, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And in verse 7, which is our key verse, it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power? Somebody say, what power? Or by what name? Somebody say, by what name? Have you done this? Now we have to really identify what this is. We remember we talked about earlier that they were at the gate called Beautiful. And the man that had been there for 40 years, that had been lame from his birth, they saw Peter and John, and through the word of Christ, that man was made whole. But this confused some folk. You know, the scribes and Pharisees, they were the religious rulers of that day. And they could not understand how something happened where this man was lame from birth, but now he's standing up, walking in the temple. He's walking. And matter of fact, when you read the 3rd chapter, he's just not walking. He's walking, and he's leaping, and he's praising God. And the people saw this. And the Bible says that over 5,000 came to know Jesus. But then the scribes and Pharisees asked this question, by what power and by what name have you done this? I like this. In verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's put a pin right there. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand today, in order to have this authority, in order to have the right, you need something called the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of people are afraid about this Holy Ghost. And I know some people say Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same Greek word, but do you have the power that comes with it? See, when the Spirit of God comes in your life, He not only changes you, but He gives you power. Somebody say power. In Acts, the first chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, "And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Romans, the 15th chapter, and the 19th verse. It says, "Through many signs and wonders," somebody say, "by the power of God's Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and around about," that word, "I fully preach the gospel of Christ." It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Well, what gives us this authority? The first thing is the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, "Hello, Holy Ghost." You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I wasn't going to go this direction, but you need this morning. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be empowered. And how you share the gospel with authority, what gives you the right, is that if you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Well, what is the second thing? They ask, by what power? We already got that answer. It's by the Holy Ghost. But by what name? What name? What name can cause people to be healed? What name can cause people to be saved? What name can cause people to be delivered? What name can cause people to be set free? Peter answers it this way: "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole." I'm here to tell you this morning, it does not matter where you've been. It does not matter what your past is. But in the name of Jesus, you can be healed. In the name of Jesus, you can be saved. In the name of Jesus, your life can change. And you that are saved, you can say, "I can tell you what gives me the rights. I got authority, and I got a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord." Come on, put your hands together and bless God for His word today. Ah, thank you.